I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yo, what's up? Alternative Facts Podcast. I'm Chris Payne. I'm your host. I'm a staff writer at Billboard. So I know last week ended the episode by saying that we were going to have an interview with Portugal the Man on the podcast and hinting that they were going to have a number one song. Well, only half of that happened. They ran into some travel busyness difficulties. It happens. They couldn't stop by the office, so we weren't able to make the interview happen. But our prediction did come true. Portugal the Man got their first number one song, Feel It Still.
Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kids now.
Yeah, that song finally beat out Imagine Dragons' Believer for number one in the alternative songs chart, and it's pretty crazy for Portugal the Man to have a number one song. They've been around a while, and they're a pretty weird band. They're probably not as weird as they are when they were when they first started. I remember first hearing about them on a Fearless Records like sampler CD that I got at the Warped Tour, or maybe Bamboozle. This would have been like 2006, and they were on there with these scene bands like The Fully Down and The Killing Moon and Logan Square, bands that like five people remember these days. And Portugal the Man were super weird. Their first album was called Waiter ... You Vultures in quotation marks. Odd punctuation for a debut album, odd name for a debut album, and they put out a lot of music. They were averaging an album a year for a while, and finally just sort of made their way into the major label system. They're with Atlantic, and Feel It Still, the song you just heard, it's a number one song, beat out Imagine Dragons. What do you know? Anyway, congratulations to them. What else should I talk about? Well, saw Tiger's Jaw this past week. Webster Hall, pretty big space in New York City. It's about 1,000-person venue, and Tiger's Jaw, they have a really devoted fan base, but they normally don't play spaces that big, so I was kind of worried about what the crowd would be like, if it would be like half full and weird, but it totally wasn't. I don't think they quite sold it out, but the crowd was pretty sizable, and they were really into it. Tiger's Jaw, you wouldn't think of as obvious music to form mosh pits to, but the people made it work. People were just overall really revved up for their songs, and there's like some peppiness, there's some aggression to their music, and people made it work. There were crowd surfing, there were fun mosh pits for Tiger's Jaw. I was feeling it. I wrote a big thing about their album they put out this year, and it was the first album they did with Atlantic Records, with a brand new imprint, with this producer Will Yip, who's super respected in this scene and trying to break a bunch of bands out of that world and get them to a larger audience. So I was really amped about the Tiger's Jaw album, which came out a couple months ago. It's called Spin, and was super excited to see them in the city. So that was a good time. All right, my talk this week, the interview. June's almost over, 6 month of the year, we're halfway, so that means talking favorite albums from the first half of the year. Now, Billboard shares an office with a couple other different publications, different websites. One of them is StereoGum, StereoGum.com. I really enjoy their mid-year albums list, so brought on a couple of their writer-editors, James Redig and Gabriella Tully Claymore, for a chat about their favorite albums so far this year and what it was like making that awesome Spin Albums 2017 first half list. So we join our conversation here. Here's the three of us talking about the excitement of new music coming out.
Yeah, and it's also good to have it on Fridays because you have the whole weekend to, like, do stuff and, like, drive around listening to new stuff or, like, yeah. I don't know.
My favorite thing to do is, like, take a new album out in the car. Like, that's, like, I love doing that. That's why, like, I know I can, like, whether I really love an album or not is, like, if it holds up in the car.
Route 1 up and down, New Jersey, back and forth to TCNJ.
Now it's like being stuck in traffic in Brooklyn. And...
I remember when Lemonade came out, James picked me up the next morning and we like blasted it and went to the grocery store or something. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I have the luxury of having my car in Brooklyn. So I love to use it. Like I listened to the Lorde album in the car for the first time, like before I had to write my review because I was like, this is like definitely a car album or like can be in a lot of ways. So yeah.
It can be tough in New York with the car, but I think... in the like the city atmosphere, the way people are so close together and so many people can hear music that way, there is a social aspect to just blasting music in your car driving through New York City you wouldn't have in like the suburbs or like on a busy street in the middle of New Jersey, like a highway.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely, I mean, this is, I actually shouldn't say this out loud, this is gonna be so annoying, but like there are times when like I'll get like a new album and like playing in my car with the windows down, like rolling past Myrtle Broadway, which is like the kind of like triangle of like indie music right now, and like playing like the new whatever album because like maybe someone will hear it and think I'm cool.
Tastemaker.
James did that with the World Is album.
No,
like,
I did
at a Brand New concert.
Oh
yes,
yeah, I did.
Did.
I did do that.
We drove to see Brand New, who I had never seen before. I actually like really didn't listen to them growing up at all. And we went upstate and James was blasting The World Is Harmlessness
before it came out
being like,
so
I wonder if people are listening and being like, what's that sick emo band that he's playing? It was so funny.
I'm so insufferable. I'm sorry.
Was this this was what we're like tailgating before the show? And
yeah, like literally we're like sitting in the parking lot with the windows down being losers
to get in. Yeah.
Like, really, very really typical. Annoying.
I'm thinking of
back
that.
To high school.
Very high school. It's a very high school, like, mentality of mine where I'm just like, I hope everyone thinks I'm cool when no one cares.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking, what's the, like, the intro song on the album where it's just that very gentle, like,
oh, my God. That, is like, that the, finger are you Diana?
That's in the middle of the album.
That's I haven't listened to the album in so long, actually, which is weird because it's one of my favorite albums.
It was your favorite album last year.
It was, but it's like a heavy listen. So I can't remember what the first song is. Right now
I don't remember either.
It's like a scratchy like it's like an acoustic kind of thing, right? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, and then it like blows up, which is like
it's
sick.
Like
yeah
I can't time for your mind. Yeah I know what you're talking about. I'm not gonna sing
I remember it
yeah, anyway, so I'm a nerd.
Yeah,
so what's been blasting in the Myrtle Wyckoff? You call it like a triangle
in the Myrtle Broadway is like where like
it's like where Silent Barn is, and like where the double whammy, like that label.
So were you saying there's stuff? Is it more like, because I'm trying to picture like the, you just mean triangle of like three locations?
Yeah, well, it's like where like, it's like where Palisades was, and it's like where
Market Hotel
is/was. Is, I guess.
There was
really
this
sure.
like venue called David Blaine's The Steakhouse that was there too. It was just an apartment, but they would have a lot of cool shows and like a bunch of bands.
So are there three defined building. Points?
No.
It's just like a big intersection.
Yeah. That's all I was trying to figure out.
It's an intersection that's more like a really lopsided square.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm it's picturing
like
it.
Rhombus. No,
there's a line in, there's this band Bellows that I really like, and he has a line in one of his songs that's like, Myrtle Broadway once again.
Yeah.
And I was like, ha, ha, ha.
You just always end up there because it's like...
Because you're always at a show.
Yeah.
What's been blasting in your car lately?
The Lorde album, basically, nonstop.
Sure. I mean, I love it.
Yeah. That was an album that, like, came out too late to make our list because we hadn't heard it, because we published our list at the very beginning of June because that's what the content market demands.
Yeah, we pretty much only include anything, obviously, that we've heard prior to the day the list goes up.
Yeah.
So we always pick 50 and then we're like, we can knock out stuff if something, like we get a surprise release or whatever. I think we did that when Summertime 06 came out. Yeah. Like only like two of us had advanced streams and we were like, it's so good, it has to be high. And we just, everyone was like, cool, we trust you. And like, put it on there.
Like, there are definitely albums that came out in the past few weeks that would have been on there. Like Lord, like Vince Staples, which we didn't get until like a week or so before.
Yeah, that album's great.
SZA probably. Mm-hmm. And probably a few others that I'm forgetting. But yeah, there's definitely albums that like, it's definitely not like January to end of June. It's like January to like beginning of June.
Yeah.
So do you have the list handy in front of you?
I don't have all 50, but I have
Go through like the top 10 just for those listening so they can get a sense, like concrete, of what list we're talking about.
Oh, of the Stereogum list? I don't have it in front of me.
Number one was Damn, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. Two was Slow Dive, self-titled. Three was Charlie Bliss. Four was
Perfume Genius.
Five was Priests?
No.
Priest was in the top 10.
You guys hope they were higher.
Priest was in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
How many Priest shirts do you own between the two of you?
Just, I only own one.
Yeah, there's three Priest shirts on the Stereogum staff.
Right.
We're a staff of eight?
Yeah. So three of us own Priest shirts. And all three of those people are in the New York office.
And sometimes we all wear them on the same day.
It only happened once.
But man, that album's so great.
That album is great.
And I've been waiting for it for so long, and it feels like kind of the perfect timing for that album to come out. I love that band.
Yeah, that band's so good. And I think that when that album came out in January, I think that's when we kind of slept on as a staff, or at least me, because like, I mean, I had, like, was familiar with them and like had
speak
heard all their...
Speak for yourself.
Speaking for myself. I had heard of them and like listened to the album and thought it was really good, but it didn't really stick with me until South by Southwest, when I saw them play like... six times in a week, and they played our little show thing too.
They destroyed our show.
Man, it just impresses me so much. They're so good at doing so many different things. Yeah. I think a lot of punk bands who are good more or less focus on one good thing that they do, and it can kind of tire over an album or even over like an EP. But Priest, with like, they have this like surf guitar thing that works really well for them. There's kind of an orchestral interlude on the album. They have the there's the spoken word track that the drummer performs and like does that live with them. Mm-hmm. There are, and across 10 tracks, they just have so much going on that they do well.
Yeah. They are all extremely talented in their own right, and I think they're a great example of a rock band where, like, all of the attention isn't just immediately laid on the front person, mm-hmm. because, like, obviously Katie Alice Greer has one of the biggest voices I've ever heard, like... I guess, like, capacious is the way you would describe it. Just, like, varied, you know? Like, mm-hmm. she has this one song. My favorite song on the album is, which one am I thinking of? My favorite song on the album is Nikki, which has this really crazy, like, cathartic moment where she's just, like, shouting, like, at the top of her voice. And then the rest of it is, like, very whispered and, like...
Alrighty, this has been a fun chat, and we're going to jump back into it in a sec. But first, here's a little word from our sponsor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I really love this band Muna, who put out their debut on RCA this year. It's called About You. And I liked the album. Shout out to Lindsay Havens, who writes for Billboard, who went to school with the singer Katie Gavin. They grew up in Chicago way back.
I went to college with Katie Gavin.
Okay.
She's awesome. Sorry.
No, go ahead with your...
Katie's great. Muna's great. I'm stoked for her. It's really cool.
They're opening for Harry Styles. Big deal.
Yeah, they are.
I'm so stoked about that. That's amazing. Yeah. I want to go. Are you going to go to the Harry Styles tour?
I'd like to.
You should.
I'm really into every single opener he picked on that tour. He's got like Casey Musgraves is also on some dates.
I didn't hear that.
This is worldwide.
Yeah.
So this includes like not just America, but like his UK and Europe dates. But Casey Musgraves, Leon Bridges. It's just like the most fascinating mix of like cross-genre up-and-comers that I've ever seen on a big tour like this.
Yeah.
But Muna, they have just... We all in like Billboard meetings joke about just how much we're like riding with Muna. Like, because it started with Lindsay, then it went to me. Patrick Crowley interviewed them for our Pride package. And I've interviewed them like multiple times already. So like within like 6 months of a debut coming out, their publicist, their phone is just like ringing off the hook of Billboard people trying to interview Muna.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, they deserve it.
Yeah, they do. And they were an early Staring Gun band to watch.
They were a band to watch.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I think one of our former writers did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me trust and watch what happens, 'cause I know.
What really sold me and took it to next level just after liking the album was seeing them live, because the album gives you this flavor of like, okay, cool, like alt synth pop, alt pop, but Josette and Naomi both play guitar live, and I think Katie's a little bit too, so it's just has more of a like a rock feel to it live and a much different aesthetic, and they pull it off so well because they all met at USC where they did this music major where it was very intensive on playing live, and their curriculum would be like each month or so performing a different genre or a different era and having to like learn the technique and perform it for the other students. Mm-hmm. And they closed their show covering Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. And I could just tell how like this crazy program they've been put through where like learning how to like play all these different genres and cover songs was just like coming through so hard because they just slay the song so well, and that was what like really sold me. And now over the summer festival circuit, they've been covering Evanescence's Bring Me to Life, and it's fucking awesome. No one expects this. Like after like this like cool, like very like 2017, you know, hip synth pop that they play, no one expects to see them whip out a nu metal song.
Yeah, they're the kind of band who, when you see them live, it's sort of like, wait, what's happening right now? Like, I can't compare this to anything else in my immediate, I don't know, brain space or whatever. But they're always really fun to see.
So what else do you guys have on your list that we haven't touched on yet?
I have the Perfume Genius album, which I may have mentioned for a second, but that's something that's really special to me as a queer person existing in this world. It's important to have music. And I also just think it's such a remarkable step up from like what Micah Dryas has been doing before. It's very textured and layered and busy in a way that his music really hasn't been in the past. And it's also like, I don't know, just a very weird album. Like half the songs I couldn't tell you, like if you gave me a name of them, I couldn't tell you necessarily what they sounded like, but as like a cohesive whole, it's very much like an album in that, like, I think it's like stronger than the sum of its parts. Not, I guess that makes it sound like it's not as good, but like it just hangs together very, very beautifully, and like in a very dark, disgusting, like grotesque, beautiful way. Yeah.
Yeah, like no couple songs towering over the rest.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's the one big single whose name I'm blanking on now. What's the big single?
Don't Look Back.
Yeah.
Wanna Break.
Oh, Slip Away. There we go. There Thank you. Go.
I wanted you to remember it. I didn't forget it.
But yeah, no, otherwise it's just like very much like an album I like listen to from front to back.
He's got this insane voice, too.
Yeah, the voice is also.
I'm really into voices.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. It's like so, like, you can imitate it so well, but at the same time, it's like you could never sing the way he sings. Yeah. Like, but I walk around the house sometimes and I'll just be like, isn't it we are? Like the last song. Sorry.
I do that too, though.
I do love the last song on the album. I think it's really lovely.
Yeah. It's a very lovely album. So I like that one. What else did we talk about? I really like the Girl Pool album. I think that's like a big step up, and I was like a big fan and like champion of them from like the start, and to like watch them develop from like just using the bass and guitar in their voices to like kind of like becoming this like 90s 4AD inspired, like, I don't know, band that like I guess kind of like feels familiar but also just feels like very exciting. So I really like that album. Other things, the Feist album is really good. She's like kind of a lifer at this point, and like I think that album is like so vital and like interesting for, in a way that you like maybe wouldn't expect it to be, because it's like a Feist album and like it's like her first one in like so long. I don't know. We saw her live, me and Gabriella, a few weeks ago, and she played the album in full, and it was really great.
Yeah, because it can be tough when an artist who just put out a new album decides, all right, guys, you're all here for the show. Here's my entire new album from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's just a testament to like how good of a performer she is and how good she is at songwriting and how good her voice is, which is another case of another very interesting voice. Like I don't know, Feist's voice is like unmistakable.
Yeah, like, I wrote about that album for our list, and I think the whole like basically like thesis of my 100-word graph was just like, her voice is an instrument, and it's very obvious on an album like that. I think one of the reasons the Feist album is so like successful in my mind is because it really shows her songwriting process. Like, it's very stripped down, like super simple arrangements, and instead of going super big, which she can obviously do, she like scaled back completely, and it almost like showcases her talents in like an even stronger, like brighter light than if she chose to like make something really elaborate. It's like really just very simple songs that sound really awesome.
Yeah.
The power of the voice.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So I think that's pretty much it. That there's like smaller albums that like I could shout out, but
rapid fire lightning round.
Cool. Well, this is not a smaller album, but the Mount Eerie album is really good and also like depressing, and I've probably only listened to it twice.
Too heavy.
It's like very, very sad, but like it's a very, very important piece of work. Spencer Radcliffe is really good. This is his first album that he like recorded with the full band, and it's very like woodsy and feels very natural, and I like it. The J-Som album's really good. Pale Hound, Fred Thomas, and then the Vince Staples album that just came out last week is also very good. And yeah, that's rapid fire.
And Gabriella, what do you have that we haven't touched on yet?
An album I've been really listening to a lot is the Juana Molina album. She is a songwriter and like really accomplished instrumentalist from Argentina. She's from Buenos Aires, and or at least that's where she lives now. I don't know if that's where she's from. And she made this album called Halo that is this kind of immersive piece of like spectral environmental, like it just kind of wraps you up in it. Like there's no real direction and there's no like hooks per se, but you kind of like, once you put it on, you are in her world, and it's really amazing. Oh, and all of her songs are written in Spanish, which is really cool to listen to. And sorry, I totally lost my train of thought. Anyway, it's great.
That is a good album, yes.
It's a really great album. Yes. It's very it's another example of a voice being an instrument, because she like distorts like all of her words, and she like layers her vocals a lot, and a lot of the time it's like really, it's not about what she's saying. And when you do know what she's saying, like, that does give you like a little bit of context, but it's not really like the main point of the work. It's more of like a listening experience than it is like I'm trying to relay a message to you.
Mm. I haven't heard it, but the way you've described it in this like used environmental kind of way, it sounds like it would sound like the Julie Byrne album, or maybe the Maggie Rogers EP.
Yeah, I love the Julie Byrne album a lot. I've been a really big fan of Julie's for a few years now. Her first album is like one of my all-time faves, and I was so excited to find out that she made a sophomore record, and we put Not Even Happiness like pretty high on our list.
Yeah.
And that's another album that's very much like she like welcomes you into her universe, and you just kind of sit there for a little while. And it's sort of not about, I mean, you know, her lyrics are great. Like, I really like the content of the songs, but I also think that there's like this spiritual element that's outside of, you know, what she's even saying. It's just the mood that like it puts you in. It's very special.
Yeah. Voices are big in 2017. That's my bold declaration.
Big trend.
Big trend. Another album I really like is Vagabond's Infinite Worlds. Shout out to Vagabond.
The hat on right now.
I'm wearing the Vagabond hat right now. That's a really great album.
Another great voice,
and another example of like something that's really varied. Like, I interviewed Leticia at some point this year, or no, last year.
Yeah.
And she kind of said like, I don't want this to be an album where you listen once and you kind of get it. Like, I want you to be able to listen like many, many times, and you know, maybe your favorite song changes, or maybe like hear something in the production that like, I don't know, makes you think something else of what she's saying. And her songs are all really personal, but they also kind of have this like universal kind of quality to them. Ramble. But there's this one song on it that I really love, and it's another great example of just like atmospheric music with voices that you don't really need to like focus too hard on what she's saying. And it's the middle track, and it features Steve Sobs, and I'm forgetting the name of it.
Is it the one that's like sound collage-y?
Yeah, it's like, and it's partially sung in French.
So, yeah, I was going to say the French
and,
one.
And it's really beautiful. And actually, the first time I listened to it, I was like, oh, this is like a cool like interlude like in the middle of the album. And now it's like might be my favorite song on the album, because it's just really like puts you in this really tranquil space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I don't speak any French, so
same.
When I listen to it, I'm like, I don't know. And then I Google.
When you were talking about that, I just remembered another, not album, but EP that is like very near and dear to my heart and I think is very special, which is Halfwave, Forma, which is another album that's like very much centered around her voice. Nandi Rose Plunkett, who also plays in Pine Grove, also makes this really beautiful synthy sort of poppy music, and she was a really good EP this year that's all about like, that was like very minimal. She like went up to like the Berkshires to record it, and it's very like isolated and small, but it also feels really big. I think it's just like people that can create atmospheres that you can kind of escape into. It's really important in 2017, the year of our demise.
I think I used to pay a lot of attention to lyrics, and that was always a really important thing for me growing up, was like, how do I identify with this music? Like, oh, I listen to the lyrics and something in it like sticks out to me, and I like can relate to my own experiences through that, and I would focus on that a lot. And I feel like this year, or in the past year or two, I've been like way more invested in just like, how does a sound make you feel, over like, do I relate to this lyric? I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. But I did write a lot about more experimental stuff on our list, like to shout out a few things. We wrote about the Forest Swords album, mm-hmm. which is like a very dark dance album. I also wrote about the J Lin album, Black Origami, which is like more like footwork dance music, which is not a genre that I have like any sort of expertise in, but I really love that album. It just puts you in this, like, the way the drums, like, I don't know, I can't even describe it. It, like, you can't do something else and listen to Black Origami. Yeah. Like, I can't sit at my desk and do work and also listen to that album. I have to be, like, on the train or just, like, hanging out at home, because you listen to all these, like, intricacies in the production and you kind of get, like, carried away, like, looking for those patterns. But yeah, cool. I really like that album.
A couple similar, more experimental, escape into their world type albums you just made me think of. One is Caroline Polachek from Chairlift put out a solo album that's a very minimal, like, ambient album of, like, found noises and stuff like that. That's just, like, very peaceful for, like, getting into a nice frame of mind, maybe, like, relaxing before I go to bed, that kind of an album. And actually, I interviewed her, like, towards the end of Chairlift once and asked her to suggest me some new age music because I figured that Chairlift would be good people to get stuff from that end. Totally. And she suggested me Bing and Ruth, which is this, like, kind of, you could kind of call them new age, more like modern classical kind of instrumental sort of project. And they put out an album earlier this year that's just also fantastic. Or it's a him, not a they, but it's Bing and Ruth. You'd think it's two people, but it's one person. But the album is great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking for more, like, environment music.
Yeah.
Not environmental. Music concerned with the environment. Though, no. Big Bang by Priest. It's a great song.
How about any albums you think have just been overhyped, getting too much of the attention their way?
I don't know if there's, like,
I just don't pay attention to things I don't like.
The good thing about...
Just kidding.
Yeah, no, the good thing about how Stereogum is structured is, like, we don't really have to pay attention to things that we don't like. We may have to, like, do some blog posts on, like, a band we don't really care about, but, like, we're never going to have to think, like, in a seriously involved way about, like, an album that just doesn't hit us in any capacity. Because either, like, someone else on staff will like it, or, like, none of us will like it, and we're just, like, we'll kind of ignore it or let it pass by. So I don't want to throw anyone under the bus specifically.
I can't really think of anything that I think is overhyped.
I think there are some things that are not as good as people say they are.
Like what?
Like.
Go.
Like Fleet Foxes.
Oh.
Yeah. Or like even like something like, well, Fleet Foxes, like I love their first album. I think their second album is pretty good. This one feels very inessential. And we kind of said that in the review and everyone got mad. And Robin Pecknold came into the comments and was like, hey, that's cool that you think this, but also here's six paragraphs about why, like, I'm still relevant. And I'm just like, well, okay. But even, like, with that album, I can't fault it. Like, it sounds beautiful. Like, I've listened to it, like, a few times, and, like, it is well put together. It's not a bad album. It just, like, is nothing that I will listen to or, like, spend, like, an hour and a half of my time or however
the hell is long it that it is. Long?
I think it's, like, an hour, it's but it feels, long. Like, very long.
Well, speaking of members of that band, past members who are active in the comments section and make extremely long albums, man, I just can't get behind Father John Misty. That album I thought was a slog, and it just got so much attention.
You know, it's really hard with Father John Misty because while I really respect him in terms of artistry, I'm just sort of like, it doesn't do it for me. Yeah, but I don't know.
The music itself doesn't do it for me.
That's always like my biggest thing is just like some stuff just doesn't do it, but other people really respond to it, and like who am I to say it's not good, you
exactly
know?
Like I've like gotten to the point where I just like if you like it that's cool, and if not then like I'm not gonna listen to it like more than once, like more than I like my I don't know, I feel like I have to listen to at least like every major album once. I like listened to the Father John Misty album while I was like answering emails and I was like okay,
yeah, I listened to it once. Not a huge fan.
I also just, like...
I have to blog about him all the time, so I'm sort of like, oh, man, if I have to, like, blog about you constantly and listen to your music, Just kidding.
Father John Misty's going to hear this and splice it out.
Honestly,
and come for
he
us.
Probably will, and he's going to come for us.
Yo, Father John Misty, nothing but 5-star comments on iTunes. That's all I'll take.
I know. Well, people love that album. We put it really high.
Yeah, people like on our staff like it.
And that's the
kind
of thing where it's like, you know, just because it's not my thing doesn't mean it doesn't deserve to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Plenty I don't think it's like actively bad. I just think that like it's not for me.
Yeah. And the theme I'm getting is just plenty of music out there, more than we have hours in a day to listen to really dwell on what we don't like. And that's, you know, a good thing for out of many different ways music and consumption of music has progressed and the absurdness of it all. That's one positive you can take from it. It's just no shortage of good stuff that you're into to listen to. So we're running short on time for this segment and for this room that we're taping in right now. So we'll wrap things up. Shout out your socials, Twitter handles, any other loose ends you didn't get to shout out in the podcasts, any projects you're working on, stuff coming up for the people to look out for.
My Twitter handle's JMRET. It doesn't make very much sense now that I think about it. It's my first two initials and then the first three letters of my last name. It doesn't make any sense, but that's where you can find me. I don't have any big projects coming up. I'm working on a few like things on upcoming albums I can't talk about, but just come to staregum.com every day. We have new content for you every single hour.
Nice. Every single hour.
I don't know. Not all hours.
Shout out to whoever's on that weekend shift, I guess.
Peter Hellman.
Shout out to Peter Hellman.
Shout out to Peter. He's such a good blogger and very funny.
Very funny.
Very funny person.
Everyone on staregum.com is very funny.
That's true.
And don't take anything very seriously that's on there, that's except for the music, but sometimes not even that.
My Twitter handle is Gabriella with one L, June, like the month, TC. And I don't know what I'm working on right now. But
no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Everything's top secret.
Actually, I just don't think I'm working on anything very interesting right
now. I can think of one
thing
that you're working on, but that's not, I don't know.
You know what I am working on? That I will talk about very briefly is a. Actually, no, forget it.
Father John Misty's latest viral stunt that you got to blog about.
Oh my God.
When you go back to your desk.
Honestly, I would love to interview Father John Misty because I feel like people who interview him are always like huge fans. And I feel like it's way more interesting when someone's just like, I don't get
it. I feel like he'd be down with that. He's like, he's so self-aware. I'm sure he'd be fine if someone who's not a huge fan or just didn't like him interviewed him.
I think it would be really fun to profile Father John Misty as someone who isn't like a fanboy.
Yeah, or fangirl. He has those, I think. Very few, but sorry.
God.
I'm gonna get in trouble.
Yeah, you said so much shit in this interview. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
Alright, so yeah, that was super fun. Follow those guys, James and Gabriella. They're great. We'll probably have them on the show another time soon. As for that list that we kept referencing, the Stereogum top 50 albums list, to read that, just Google Stereogum best albums of 2017 so far list. Get caught up on all the good stuff that you missed so far this year. So little time to listen to all the good music that comes out in a year, so I feel like those lists are really, really helpful to just check in with every few months and see what you missed out on. So for some stuff that I'm pretty excited about coming up, maybe you'll think it's exciting too. I just talked to Lynn Gunn from the band Paris for Billboard's Pride package. We launched a whole new LGBTQ vertical for Pride Month on Billboard, and I talked to Lynn about what it was like coming out to her family before Paris's first tour, what it's been like working on their new album. It's coming out in August. I'm really excited for it. What it was like for her just these past couple years of the band blowing up, how she left her hometown, went on tour, got kind of famous, and it took a toll on her mentally. It was a lot to take in for her, I think, but she's in a much better headspace now, and she was really open about all this stuff chatting with me this week, so pretty in-depth talk. I was into it. That'll be up on the website Friday, June 30th, tomorrow. It's the last day of Pride Month, and Billboard in right before the buzzer, last day. So to keep up with all the stuff that I'm writing, at CPain on a Plane is my Twitter handle and most other social media handles, but mainly Twitter is the best place to just keep up about what I've been working on. I talk about this podcast a lot. I drop little hints about what I have coming up. So comments, feedback you have, questions about the show, just tweet at me. I almost always tweet back, and I like getting your feedback. So also, another great way to get feedback, star rating on iTunes, 5 out of 5 only. No, I'm kidding, but that sort of thing is super, super helpful, getting more attention to the show. It helps get better placement for the Alternative Facts podcast on iTunes. So also, while you're there, subscribe, get it automatically every single week without having to search for it and go find it. We run every Thursday, but not this coming Thursday. It's 4th of July week, going to be out of the office a lot, stuff going on. So in the meantime, hey, you can check back on some of our old episodes. There's about 10 episodes of this podcast in the archive so far, like this chat I had with Charlie Bliss.
We're so excited to be writing new music. I mean, we recorded the record a little over a year ago, so we feel really excited about writing more. And we're hoping to record our second record as soon as possible. So we're in full writing mode.
Yeah, those guys are awesome. That episode was super fun. The old episodes, the archives, they're in iTunes. Search for hashtag Alternative Facts Podcast, all one word. So anyway, I'm out. I'll catch you next Thursday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.